There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Glory to your name, God. Father, we thank you this morning for your reckless love, your love that found us when we were at the very bottom, your love that reached out and took us out of the pits of hell when we were lost. Lord, we thank you for your love. For your reckless love looked down and saw a world in trouble and covered in mud and mire. But Lord, your love purges us, it cleanses us, it protects and keeps us, and we thank you for your saving love today. Father, as we come before your presence this morning, we exalt your name. We magnify you, O God, for you are King, you are Lord, and you are Master. And Father, we recognize that our righteousness is but a filthy rag before your throne, O God. But Lord, because of the reckless love, because Jesus went to the cross for our sins, we can stand here, my God, and ask that you would purge us, that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness, oh God. So, Father, in this very moment, we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into this room. We invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into homes. We invite the presence of the Holy Spirit wherever your viewers are watching, oh God. May you release the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit to saturate their very atmosphere, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak a healing word, a delivering word. Father God, a word that would restore lives or restore hope, my God, in the name of Jesus, and that would give us, my God, a greater effort to push, a word that would increase our faith in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I commit my mind, my body, my soul, and my spirit to you, oh God. I pray that you would hide me behind the veil and allow your Holy Spirit to speak clearly. Lord God, we remove every hindrance, every blockage. May God, you unblock every clog ear even now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may you remove every distraction, my God, every spirit that would cause your children not to hear what thus saith the Lord today, mighty God. Lord, soften every hardened heart that your divine will and purpose will be established in the earth today. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God today. Give an honor to our senior pastor, Bishop Courtney Williams, our First Lady, Myrna Williams. We just thank God for her. It is Mother's Day, and we want to say happy Mother's Day, First Lady. We want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are viewing, those of you who are with us. Happy Mother's Day, and we just pray God's blessings upon your life. Thank you all for joining us today. We're going to go straight to the Word of God, and it's taken from 1 Kings chapter 3. And also just give an honor to the praise team, the leaders of Refuge Temple, and everyone, media team, all of those that work behind the scenes, just God using our gifts to make all of this possible. We thank God for you this morning as well. And it reads as follows. I'm sorry the text is a little long. It's only a few verses I really want to focus on, but if I don't read the entire portion text, someone just might miss the message, and we don't want anyone to miss it. The word of the Lord says, "Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, 'Pardon me, my lord. This woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone, and there was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him in her breast and put her dead son on my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. The woman said, "No, the living one is my son. The dead one is your son." But the first one insisted, "No, the dead one is yours. The living one is mine." And so they argued before the king. The king said, The one says, "My son is alive, and your son is dead," while that one says, "No, your son is dead, and mine is alive." Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword to the king. He gave an order, and he said, "Cut the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other." The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of her love for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave his ruling, "Give the living baby to the first woman. Don't kill him. She is the mother." We're going to talk from the subject this morning, reckless love. Since the COVID-19 pandemic, quarantine has been enforced in the United States this March 2020. We can clearly see how the role of motherhood has drastically changed. Motherhood has gone from a standard routine schedule of getting up in the morning, getting the kids ready for school, preschool, etc., whatever your norm was. Going to work, coming home, fixing dinner, having family devotions, going to bed, and repeating 5 days a week, typically. Probably on weekends, going out, having fun, mall, shopping, different activities. But now our living rooms, our kitchens, and our dining rooms have been turned into classrooms, offices, art rooms, and gyms. Mothers are now employed full-time in their jobs, working from home, being mommy full-time, being preschool teacher, elementary school teachers, middle school, high school, you name it, even college instructors, doctors, the nurse, 3-meal-a-day chef, and a homemaker, you name it. And some of it, believe it or not, some mothers can say it has a little bit of emotional strain on you. You're trying to balance all of this being one individual. But even though this has become our temporary new norm, when 2-year-old Skylar was asked by her mother, "What is a mother?" she looked at her mother and said, "You're a mother." You see, at this age, they don't yet conceive or fully understand the role, but they know without a shadow of a doubt who their caregiver is. Then, you know, by the age of 5, children gain a little bit more understanding. So from 5-year-old Brooklyn's perspective, when I asked her, "What is a mother?" she said, A mother is a person who takes care of you." As children grow, they become more insightful with their perspective and their understanding of the role and purpose of a mother. 8-year-old Alyssa informs us that the role of a mother is to keep us safe, to love us, to take care of us, and to help us grow along the way. While 9-year-old Daniela's perspective, she states that the role of a mother is to take care of their kids, make sure they are healthy, safe, and clean. And she said also the role of a mother is to take care of themselves. That's pretty clever, I thought. While from 9-year-old Aaron's perspective, he says she is someone that protects you and provides for you. 11-year-old Annalisa says, "A mother is to provide for you, to take care of her children, the family, and even to take care of her husband." These are the kids. She is there with you in the middle of the night when you have nightmares. She is always there, and she loves at all times. From 19-year-old Savannah's perspective, a mother is to be there for you. She's to support you. She's to care for you. She's to love you, and she's to be your best friend. From 23-year-old Christopher's perspective, a mother takes care of you. She does the right things and leads by example. She is to always be there for her children when they need her. From 32-year-old Kim's perspective, a mother is a nurturer, someone who is very caring and loving. A mother is selfless and giving. She works hard to ensure her children or her child has no needs or wants. A mother has the strength to carry a child for 9 months. A mother would go to the ends of the earth for her child. A mother is strong, she is a peacemaker, and a mother is irreplaceable. And finally, from 39-year-old Shauna's perspective, a mother is to be someone who is supportive, someone who will listen and guide you. Now, all of them at different ages have a different perspective of a mother, and I'm sure if I continue to go down, go up higher, we would get more perspectives. But out of every attribute and characteristic mentioned as to what the role of a mother is and who a mother is, from the interviewee's perspective, we can observe a few common denominators. Regardless of the stage or age in life, all acknowledge, they all recognize, and they look to a mother for nurture, for care, for love, for support, to provide for them, to guide them, and to protect them. Rightfully so, God has equipped mothers with a special, extraordinary gift. It's this maternal instinct that encapsulates a lot of characteristics. Do you agree? In my observation, I heard the words love and protect come from just about every one of these interviewees. And it is so true. Mothers have this embedded characteristic that will cause them to go to drastic measures to protect their children. And this is what I call reckless love. When a mother sees her child in a way of danger, she doesn't even consider herself. She doesn't even think about the consequences of her own demise. All that is on that mother's mind is getting the child to safety. Let me show you what I mean. On May 11th in 2014, ABC News covers a story of a heroic act. The news headline reads, "Mother jumps three stories out of a burning building with her baby in her arms." Christina and her 18-month-old baby lived in an apartment complex in Haverhill, Massachusetts. Christina found herself face to face with a frightening reality as fire tore throughout the apartment complex where she and her son resided. This young mother and her son were completely trapped due to the fact that there was one way in and one way out of that apartment unit. As the flames and smokes began spreading rapidly, Christina had no option but to jump from the window of her third floor apartment with her 18-month-old son in her arms. Can you imagine being trapped by engulfing flames and smoke that is literally burning and choking your throat? Today here listening to this sermon, there are some of you who are trapped not by physical flames, but by flames of disaster, flames of depression, flames of hopelessness, flames of fear, flames of anxiety, flames of sickness, flames of worry, flames of lack, flames of sin, flames of addictions, flames of abuse, flames of haunting memories of your past, flames that are engulfing and consuming your thoughts, flames that are affecting your daily life and your ability to be set free. You have been looking, you've been searching, you've been pushing, you've been pressing, you've been trying to figure out a way out, and there seems to be no escape. I stand here to declare to you that by any means necessary, you are coming out today. Here is why. In Isaiah 43, verses 2-3, God says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. But this is if you choose to make God your choice. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not oversweep you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He is your deliverer. He is your keeper. He is your protector. He is your provider. He is your way maker. He is the will in the middle of the will. He'll be the peace in the midst of your storm. No matter what you're struggling with, no matter where it seems like you're trapped, you just must trust and believe that God will deliver you. When you can't see him moving in your situation, you've got to trust him. When you can't trace him, you have just got to trust him. You have to put your faith to the test and take the leap and jump into God's hands, because he's standing by just waiting to catch you when you fall. He wants to deliver you out of the fires that has you trapped, but you have to trust him wholeheartedly. This is why Hebrews reminds us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, that which we expect. It is the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is the belief without having the physical evidence in your hands. You have to just work your faith. For example, when a woman conceives a child and she's told that she is pregnant. First off, when women's bodies, there are certain functions that stop. And it gives us the signal to know something is off. But even when she's told that she is pregnant, she does not actually see the seed yet. She does not feel it moving, but something in her has that belief to know that she is now caring for something else. And she takes every measure possible to ensure that that fetus is, that seed is protected. And that's how it is with our faith. Regardless of whether we see it yet, we must receive it. We must believe it and know that what God says he will do. We just have to believe it. And then I'll bring it to another perspective to help somebody else. When you're employed, you go to work 5 days a week. You don't get paid the first time you walk on the job. You get paid, your payday is Friday, but every single day, every single morning, you wake up, you go to work on time, you do your job, and you know that on Friday, payday is coming. It's the same way with our faith. We must do the work, we must press, we must pray, we must believe, we must worship, we must trust until payday arrives. Amen? Christina found herself and her son trapped in a fire, just like some of you are trapped in the fires of life today. Christina told the news reporters, "I just knew we were either gonna die or we were gonna get out of here. Once I got to the window," she said, "and I looked down, I knew exactly what I had to do." She took her son in her arms, she cuddled him as tight as she could, and she jumped, all while trying to cushion her son from the impact. She didn't even care where she hit, how she hit. All she wanted to know is that her son was going to be okay. She sustained very bad injuries. And even after jumping and landing on the ground, she still had the strength to army crawl her way and get her son out of harm's way from the debris that were falling on the ground from the fire. Her son was her major concern. Getting him to safety was her ultimate aim. As a result of the fall, Christina suffered a broken vertebrae, while her son only suffered minor injuries. She had to undergo a 6-hour surgery with the possibility of never walking again. But do you know what this mother's response to all of this was? Here's what she told the news reporter. She said, "All the pain, all of this that I am going through right now, it is worth it to see him running around and praying and playing." She said, "We lost everything, but that does not matter to me because I have all that matters." And you see, that's how God is with us. It doesn't matter to God what he has to sacrifice for you. All that matters to him is that your soul is secure. Reckless love has no limitations. It has no restrictions. It has no constraints or barriers. Reckless love, it is selfless and it protects by any means necessary. It is careless of potential consequences to oneself, but 100% it is focused on the person or responsibility, person of responsibility, and keeping them safe. Reckless love will meet you right where you are. You see, a mother's love for her child or her children is that of reckless love. Becoming a mother and being a mother comes with great responsibilities. I'm sure many mothers can agree. As a mother, a biological, whether it be biological, whether it be spiritual, whether you mother someone that you didn't even birth, but you are filling that role as a mother, right? Regardless of how the son or the daughter became yours, your responsibility, that really doesn't matter. But as some of the interviewees stated, it is to first be a nurturer. And that's what God created us to be. He created us to be nurturers. There is no one on this planet who can nurture their children like a mother can. There's absolutely no one that can fill that void that a mother leaves. Mothers understand their children. They have an incredible bond. They provide direction. They impart wisdom and principles, and they establish a foundation for their children. Children often run to mommy first when something goes wrong. Do you agree? Don't misunderstand me. Fathers have a vital role, but today's Mother's Day. We're talking about mothers, okay? Just so nobody don't get upset with me here. A mother will go to war for her child or her children because all she wants is the best for them. Some mothers will even lie for their children. I'm not talking about the Christian mothers now. Just to get them out of trouble. They just want to protect them. They just want to keep them and cover them. But sometimes we have to allow the consequences to be faced. But speaking as a mother, it's difficult at times. And I'm not saying I will lie for my child, because I won't. So mothers sacrifice so much for their children. And regardless of what we do as children, and no matter how far we stray away, a mother will never stop loving her child. There is nothing that can ever separate you from a mother's love. It is within that context, we're going to draw your attention back to a segment of the text. Here we have two women who live in the same house, both gave birth around the same time. One accidentally murders her child by rolling over on him. And when she discovers, as we read earlier, when she discovers that the child is dead, she goes in, she swaps out and takes the live child. But yet, when the true mother wakes up and goes to nurse the son, she realizes it's dead. And here's the thing. You cannot fool a mother with her own child. There is something special, and especially a first-time mother, they get a little psychotic with their kids. You know, nobody's touching them. Nobody's breathing on them, you know. Yeah, they get a little crazy. It's after the yeah. So this was a first-time mother, so you can imagine. She most likely freaked out. We read the scripture nice and calm. I'm pretty sure it didn't go like that. Not with women, not with a first-time mother. So, she knew exactly what her son looked like. She knew his scent, and there's also a special maternal instinct and a connection that a mother develops with a child while they're in the womb. God, as I said earlier, God made mothers special, and he gave them a special discernment concerning their child. It's like when something is wrong, you know, it's like this antenna goes up. You get these strange gut feelings and, you know, it's that something is going on. And if you're a mother and a mother of prayer, it leads you into prayer. And intercession. That's the word I'm looking for. Yes. Lead you into intercession. And, you know, you pray for your child, you cover your child. But then sometimes when you feel that way, you always want to know, is everything okay? So you just want to hear their voice at times. But coming back to the text, the matter had to be brought before King Solomon. And in his presence, the women went back and forth. But unfortunately, back then, we didn't have, well, not we, I didn't live then. They didn't have a Jerry Springer. They didn't have paternity court. And they didn't have paternity testing available. So one thing about King Solomon, he always prayed for wisdom. And this was a case he had to totally depend on the wisdom of God and rely on that. And that's exactly what he did. So he decided that since someone here is being deceptive and being a pathological liar, I'm going to deal with it like this. He gave orders to go get me a sword. And he said, cut the baby in half. Give one half to one mother, give the other half to the other. And guess what? They both walk away with a baby, piece of a baby. Now, here comes the reckless love instinct of a mother. It kicks in. And because of her deep love for her son, the real mother would rather sacrifice her happiness. She would rather sacrifice her pleasure and her joy of holding and caring for her son, growing the baby boy, just so that he can stay alive. And she cried, Lord, please, 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 don't kill him. Give the child to her. And it's at that point in time, she didn't even care that she may lose having the physical child in her presence. All she wanted was for his life to be preserved. And see, that is what reckless love will do. It will risk everything. And she was willing to risk everything for her baby boy. A mother's love will take the extra mile. A mother's love will cause you to lose sleep. A mother's love will deprive themselves. A mother's love will take food out of their own mouths just to ensure the well-being and the security of their children. Someone here watching today or listening, you may have been in a place where you've even disrespected your mother and walked away from your mother. You may have been in a place where you and your mother may have had disagreements and you haven't spoken to her in some time and you vowed that you will never again. Trust me when I tell you, your mother doesn't stop praying for you. She doesn't stop loving you. She's just waiting for you to turn back to her. Amen. Someone else is thinking, after what I did, how could she still love me? She's your mother. You came from inside of her womb. She still loves you. Will she open the door back to me? Absolutely, she will. Wake up out of the trance that you were in and go back to your mother. God wants to repair your broken relationships. God wants to repair broken families today. God wants to repair broken people. Do it before it is too late. You don't want to regret and say, I wish I would have, I wish I had. Do it before it's too late. God, right now, he is calling mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers. He is calling aunts and uncles. He's calling grandparents and cousins and friends and families. He's calling us back to a place of unity in the midst of quarantine and in the midst of the silent nights and the quiet rooms. Can you hear him calling? Just listen, he's calling. It's no coincidence that we are in quarantine and separated only to our houses, only to our families. No, God's trying to restore families. He's trying to restore hopes. He's trying to come back into families where he can fix things that have been broken. I want to encourage you today with Romans 8:28. And here's what it says. It says, and for we know that in all things God works together for the good of them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. A lot of drastic changes has happened over the past 2 months, and it all happened so quickly. Everyone is affected by this pandemic in some way or another. But how many of you know this? What looks like devastation, what appears to threaten the children of God, it's an illusion. Someone says, yeah, you're sick. It's not an illusion. It's reality. No, it's an illusion. Yes, people are sick. but they're not outside of the reach of a miracle or of healing. Yes, saints and people have passed on and gone into early retirement. It is painful for us, but for the children of God that die in the Lord, even right now, it is a glorious time for them. Don't allow the fear of COVID-19 to imprison you. Trust God that even that He is working things out for your good, because Jesus is on the case. And if He is on the case, all you have to do is stand still and press into the presence of God. Stop your noise. Trust God and stand still. Press into His presence. Stop your crying and stop rehearsing your situation over and over again. Trust God and press into His presence. You can't change the situation. You can't change anything about this virus. You can't change the effects. You can't change your situation. But what you can do, you can change it through prayer, by allowing the power of God, inviting the Holy Spirit into your home, inviting the Holy Spirit into your presence. Put faith to the test. Turn it over to the Lord. Press in prayer. Press, press, press. You got to press. What is pressing? Pressing is praying the resurrection empowerment to strengthen your soul. You got to press into the presence of God. God is with you, and trust me when I tell you. Know what? Don't trust me. Trust God when I say these words. God is going to see you through. I put it on His name, not on my name, not on my person, but on the name of God. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the scripture tells us. And the righteous run it in, and they are saved. Amen? COVID-19. Here is the acronym that I received, and I heard it. COVID-19. C, it came as an apparent O, obstacle and hindrance. But V, victory. Somebody shout victory. Shout victory. I can't hear you, but the Lord can hear you. Victory. I, in God's divine timing, D, deliverance is coming to the children of God. COVID-19 quarantine has been a time of shutdown all over the world. But for the children of God, I sure hope that you are taking advantage of this time. Taking advantage of this time, because it has slowed us down a little bit. It's gotten us out of the busyness of what we consider life. But it has given you, it has given me time to reflect and to reevaluate how we spend our time, what we spend our time on, where we spend our time, and who we're spending our time with. It has been a season of reconnectivity, rejuvenation. It doesn't feel good either, but it is a season of reestablishment and calling the families back to God. God is granting the church, the body of Christ. He is granting us time to realign ourselves, time to realign our purpose to the call and the will of God for His divine purpose and glory. God is calling, is giving us opportunity to fix what we need to fix, to get ourselves right, because nobody knows the day or the time that the Son of Man shall prepare. But what He says is with the woman with the three lamps, He says, get your lamp lit. Keep oil in your lamps, because no one knows when the bridegroom is coming. Church, we got to get ready. We have to be ready. We have to prepare ourselves. And for us Christians, God is calling us into this place of isolation that we might build up ourselves spiritually. So when we come out, we are more powerful. We are more stronger. We are more confident in the gospel that we speak, that we teach, and that we believe. Amen. I don't know about you, but this season has caused me to pray more daily than I ever have before. Being able to work home remotely, I mean, I thank God that my children don't need my help as much, but they will tell you for themselves. There's many times I'm working, but I'm praying. And listen, you just can't resist when the Spirit of God comes upon you. And I mean, praying for people, praying for things I have no idea. Certain feeling, certain glimpse that I see, and I will go into prayer and not long after to get a call or a text that this is what's going on. Listen, church, we just must be available to God in this season and this time because he wants to use us. He wants to use us to help deliver people. He wants to use us to intercede. He wants to use us to spread the word. Amen. In this time, it is strengthening the children of God spiritually and physically. It is readjusting our vision so that we may see things from God's perspective. Amen. Many may not see it. You may not even feel it. You may not get it. You may not even perceive it. But by the legislative authority of Jesus Christ, I decree it and I declare deliverance is coming. It is coming to your life. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to say it is coming. I declare that deliverance is here. It is in your life. It is coming to your home, your children, your family, and to all who would endeavor to follow Christ. Deliverance is here for you. And I beseech you to put your faith in action. You've got to believe it in order to receive it. Don't be distracted by all the negativity that you see around you. Don't be distracted by the negative experiences that you are facing right now. Turn it over to Jesus, and he will fix it. There's a song that a songwriter penned, and they used to sing it a lot when I was in church as a young. And the words go, "Trouble in my way. I would have to cry sometimes. Trouble in my way, I would have to cry sometime. So much trouble." And they say, "I laid awake at night." But you know what? That's all right. You know why? Because Jesus will fix it after a while. Amen? Then I'm reminded of Psalms 34, 18 and 19, where it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all." He doesn't say the Lord delivers them out of some. The Lord delivers them out of one. But the Lord delivers them out of all their trouble. So no matter what it is you're dealing with, no matter what it is you're facing, just believe that God will deliver you. And nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is too big for him. There's no limitations where God is concerned. He will meet you right where you are. All he's waiting for is for you to invite him in. That's all he's waiting for. Amen. If you are in God's hands, or if you place your situation in God's hands, as Bishop said one time, nothing that you place in the hand of God will die. Sometimes, even though it feels rocky, you know that as long as you're in God's hands, you're going to survive. Amen. I'm speaking to those right now who feel brokenhearted. You feel torn in your spirit, beaten, battered, and broken. Those mothers who you said that you have done your very best, and yet things still seem to be rocky. You feel as though you have reached your breaking point. I want to encourage you today to hold on, because help is on the way. You are concerned, you are worried, and you are fretting, wondering how. How is it that I give so much? How is it that I sacrifice so much? How is it that, you know, we taught them the right things, but yet my child still goes astray? It seems like they're being driven by another force. You know what, mother? They are. But your job as mom, keep on praying. Help is on the way. There is miraculous power in the prayer of a mother. Some of you are still here right now. Your mother may even have transitioned on, but you're still here. You're still safe. You're still standing because your mother prayed for you. There's a song they used to sing that somebody prayed for me, but the favorite part is my mother prayed for me. She had me on her mind. She took the time and prayed for me. You ought to be glad that somebody prayed for you because of the prayers of the righteous, because of the prayers of your mother. There's something about when a mother cries to God for her children, God has no choice but to release, because he can empathize with it. In some passages of the scripture, God's love is compared to that of a mother's love. But you see, mom, the Bible says to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 22, verse 6. Listen, help is on the way. God has sent somebody to minister to your son or your daughter right where she is. Remember the prodigal son? He was gone for some time. It hurt his parents, but guess what? He came back home. Listen, get up. Wipe your tears from your eyes. Your son is coming home. Your daughter's coming home, and they're coming home alive. They're not coming home in a body bag. They're coming home alive. They're coming home well. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we break every stronghold off of your child's life. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare, and we command the forces of hell to lift your hands off of God's possessions. We release the blood of Jesus to target them right where he or she is. Call out your child's name. Take this moment even right now. I can't hear you, but the Spirit of God can hear you. Call out your child's name before God. It's Mother's Day. Call out your child's name. You haven't heard from your child. Call out your child's name, and I ask in the name of Jesus that that mother who is crying over her child even now, that Lord Jesus, by the end of today, you will cause that mother and that son to be reunited in the name of Jesus Christ. We touch and agree as we command the forces of hell to take your hold off of God's possession. Loose your hold off of God's children. Set them free in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I war in the spiritual realm even now for that child that is dangling on the edge of hell. My God, in the name of Jesus, may you remember the mother's prayer. May you remember the grandmother's prayer. May you remember the great-grandmother's prayer, mighty God, in the name of Jesus, and send help to rescue that child. Send help, my God, to take that child, mighty God, out of the crack house. Send help, my God, in the name of Jesus, to deliver that child from prostitution in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would deliver that child from whatever kidnapping vows that have been set around them in the name of Jesus Christ. My God, may you release your sons and daughters' children today, that they may worship you. May you release your sons and daughters' children today, that they may praise you. May you give families testimonies, mighty God, of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, by faith, see them coming back. By faith, see them being restored in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Raba sokorendiama. Rebe sika tayandaraba. Roba tiko tiendalaraba sika. Raba soko yandeliribaka. Labako sika tayandalarabasi. Raba sika. Lord God, release the blood. Release the blood of Jesus over our children. Release the blood of Jesus over mothers today in the name of Jesus. There are some children, my God, that wish they could talk to their mother. There are some children, my God, whose mothers have abandoned them. But my God, in the name of Jesus, may you give them that maternal comfort. May you give them that maternal peace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Someone says, I don't have a mother to celebrate today. And you know, for those who have lost their mother, you did not lose your mother, especially if your mother was a child of God. When men die in the army, they say, salute to the fallen soldiers. But when men and women die in the Lord, they haven't fallen, they have risen. Their bodies may sleep, but their souls have gone on to be with the Lord. So if that is you today and your mother has transitioned, take a moment and we salute our risen souls of our mothers who have transitioned on to be with the Lord. We salute them. We thank God for the time that you allow them to be with their children. And Lord, we thank you for their prayers even now that are still covering their children. Hallelujah. Another one says, I was abandoned and left in foster care. I never knew my mother. Someone else says, I don't know what a mother's love feels like. You may feel completely forgotten by everyone in your life, but God will never forget you. You are still here today because the reckless love of God surrounds your life. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has bore? Though she may forget, God says, I will never forget you. There is absolutely nowhere you can go. There is no void, no emptiness, or no lacking where God's love is concerned. Wherever you can go, he will go. There's somewhere in the scripture where it says, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. You are out here, you are out there listening to this message today because God's grace, his mercy, and his love has covered you. You see, Moses' mother, she really exercised reckless love when she took Moses, nestled him in that little basket, and put him on that river just so his life can be saved. And what looked like foolishness to some, God truly saved Moses, but not just saved him, raised him up in the house of the king who wanted him dead. That's how God's love is. Although a mother loves hard, her love still does not surpass that of God. We are not perfect, and sometimes we slip up, but thank God for his reckless love. Over 2,000 years ago, reckless love came through the womb of a woman, and it took a journey to Calvary, and it settled accounts that didn't even belong to him. Yet God saw humanity in our mess and decided to save and restore all of humanity. Jesus' reckless love gave his life for you and for me. His reckless love went to hell and took the keys. You see, God's love compels us. It draws us. It reaches out to us right where we are. Someone is saying in your mind, no, I'm too jacked up. I've done too much. There's no way God can love me. There's no way I could be in the kingdom of God. But no matter how far you drift from your mother's love, no matter what you do, you could murder somebody, but your mother's still gonna love you. The world can hate you, but your mother's still gonna love you. She's still gonna vouch for you. And that's how God is. No matter what happens, he will always draw you back as long as you're willing to come on in. The scripture says, who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, I am persuaded that the reckless love of God grants me the authorization to cite this passage of scripture with absolute resolution in the faith of Jesus Christ, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor demons, nor things present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? absolutely nothing. For I am persuaded that the reckless love of God saved me, and it will save you. I am persuaded that the reckless love of God delivers. I am persuaded that the reckless love of God breaks strongholds in the name of Jesus Christ. I am persuaded that the reckless love of God protects by any means necessary. I am persuaded that the reckless love of God provides grace to those that need. I am persuaded that the reckless love of God restores. I am persuaded that the reckless love of God strengthens. I am persuaded that the reckless love of God gives hope. I am persuaded that the reckless love of God gives second and third and fourth and fifth and 20 and 100 chances. No matter how many times you sin, no matter how many times you fall, the reckless love of God still reaches out his hand. It still calls you and beckons you to come. I am persuaded that the reckless love of God preserves souls. I am persuaded that the reckless love of God provides strength. We just have to stay focused on Jesus Christ. And in this season, we in this season and not lose our minds. For the reckless love of God, it sacrificed all for us. And it will fight for you even today. If you are stuck in a burning building, you better believe it, that if you call on the name of Jesus Christ, he will deliver you. Corey Asbury, he breaks it down this way. He says, before I spoke a word, he said, you were singing over me. He said, you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life into me. Before we even came through the womb and breathed one breath, the Ruha breath of God breathed life into us in the name of Jesus. Corey continues and he says, you have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, how it chases me down. It fights till I'm found and it leaves the 99. We, none of us could earn it. None of us could deserve it. We don't deserve it. But still, God gave himself away for us. He continues to say, oh, the overwhelming, the never-ending, reckless love of God. He says, when I was a foe, when I was an enemy to God, your love still fought for me. He said, you have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. When we were worthless, God went to the cross and he died for each and every one of us. We were not worth it. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But the reckless love decided that it wanted to save us. Amen. And he continues to say, you have been so kind to me. The greatest part that I like about this song, he says, there is no shadow you won't light up. There's no place that you can be that is so dark and dreary and muddy and murky and just full of filth that God will not step in and put light into that situation and deliver you if you welcome him in. He says, there's no mountain you won't climb up. There's nowhere you can get so high that God can't reach you. Another song says how he reaches to the, his blood reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. But God will always come after us. He's never left us. It is us that walks out on God. And even when we walk out, he's still standing there waiting. It said, it continues to go, there's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Listen, the love of God, the reckless love of God is chasing you today. Will you turn around and walk into his arms? Will you receive the reckless love of God today? Don't feel discouraged, emptied, abandoned, and hopeless. God is with you, and he is standing ready to receive you. He is saying, listen, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Come on home. You have been through rough times, but God is still there. He was there then, and he's here now. Here it is as I close. A mighty wind blew night and day. This mighty wind represents tests, trials, storms, any difficulty you may face. and it stole the oak tree's leaves away. The tests, the storms, the trials, it stole your joy, it stole your hope, your peace, and your rest. Then the storm snapped its burrows and pulled the bark until the oak tree was tired and stark. You're feeling empty right about now. But the oak tree still held its ground. While all others fell around it, the weary wind gave up and spoke. He said, "How could you still be standing?" You see, the enemy's looking at you right now and wondering, how are you still standing? The oak tree says, "I know that you can break each branch of mine in two, carry each leaf away. You can shake my limbs and make me sway. But I have roots stretched in the earth, growing strong since my birth. You will never touch them, for you see, they are deep. They are the deepest part of me. And until today, I wasn't sure of how much I would endure. But now I found, with thanks to you, I am stronger than I ever knew." Just like that oak tree, your roots are planted deep, 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 deep. They get stronger through reading the word of God and prayer. After this is all over, you're going to be stronger. You're going to be better. You're going to be wiser than you ever have before. And all God is saying is, "I'm waiting for you to accept my reckless love." If there's anyone watching today and you have found yourself without the reckless love of God covering you and keeping you, and you know right now is the perfect time for you to receive Christ. You're not in a full building. There's nobody looking at you. Right where you are, I encourage you to receive Christ today as your Lord. His love reaches out for you. His love never left you. And all his desire is that you will be saved. It's just like an insurance policy. That's what I equate salvation to, in order to break it down for your understanding. If you drive a motor vehicle, or you own a home, or even medical insurance, if you don't have insurance and you go to the hospital, you go to the doctor, you better have the money to pay them out front. If you drive in a vehicle and you don't have insurance, you get into a car accident, hope you're ready for a lawsuit. The insurance policy that I offer you today, it's an insurance policy for a lifetime. It will usher you into eternity. And that policy is Jesus Christ. This is an insurance policy that has no premiums. All it requires is a yes. And if you will accept this policy today, it covers you today, it covers you tomorrow, it covers you as long as you're on this earth, and it will usher you into eternity. But when you take this policy, you must maintain the relationship. So even after today, we encourage you to find your way to, if you don't have Bible, if you need help in terms of guidance, you can contact us and we'll help you through until the doors are open. But you must find a home, a church home, where you can grow. Many people feel like, "I don't need to go to a church." But you see, the scripture says, if we walk in obedience to the word of God, it says, "Forsake not the gathering of my people." For this is where we encourage one another. This is how we build each other up. This is how we have true accountability. You can say, "I sit home and I go to church on TV," but there's no true accountability to that. You still can live how you want to live. But if you're in a place where where you're taught the word of God, and as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another's countenance, where you have brothers and sisters, where you pray with, you laugh with, you joke with, you talk with, you know, all in context of the Word of God, then you'll be all right. So if your choice is to receive Jesus Christ today, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I come to you today, recognizing that I am a sinner in need of your grace. I realize that I have strayed far, but today I receive your word, and I ask that you will come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he came and he died for my sins. And I confess that I am saved. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, for everyone who prayed that prayer from their heart, I pray that even now you will walk into their homes, that you will comfort them and cover them. Father, let them feel your spirit and your presence around them. May God, you remove every distraction, every negativity from their life, and cause them to grow in faith in you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And for those who, I'm going to just pray one more short prayer, those who desire to just rededicate their lives, I'm just going to pray a short prayer for you. And for those who just need reinforcement, that God would undergird you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, there are those listening today, watching today, who are in need, Lord God, of just rededicating their lives to you. Father, I pray that you will hear the cry of their hearts even now, and that you would rescue them, my God, from the pit that they are in, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just increase their faith in this season and in this time. That, Father, as we are separated, Lord God, that there is no separation where you are. May God, you release your ministering angels to minister to them and meet them at their very point of need even now. Father, release comfort, release peace, release hope, release purpose in the name of Jesus. And Father, in the name of Jesus, if there are those who are even being tormented by spirits, my God, from the underworld, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would release from heaven, my God, angels to deliver your children in the name of Jesus and fight what fights against them. Father, I pray that you would restore homes today, mighty God. Restore relationships today, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, those parents or that mother who is concerned about their children or their child, my God, may you give that mother peace and hope, mighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those who are believing you for healing, my God, may you release healing today in the name of Jesus. For God, there is no distance where you are concerned. Father, I pray that you would release the blood of Jesus today, my God, to serve as the antidote, the antibiotic, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that your children need, Father God, for healing today. Father, I pray that you will comfort the broken hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, we give your name glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. And God, we seal this word with the blood of Jesus, that as it was released, Father, I pray that you will cause it to take root, to bring forth fruit, fruit for your kingdom and for your glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if during the week you desire prayer, or even if you call today, or if you call later and you don't get us, you leave a message and someone will return your call. You can call 203-373-0622 or 203-371-8450.
There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.